Hi, it's Jamie, Progressive number one, number two employee. Leave a message at the... Hey, Jamie, it's me, Jamie. This is your daily pep talk. I know it's been rough going ever since people found out about your a cappella group, Mad Harmony, but you will bounce back. I mean, you're the guy always helping people find coverage options with the Name Your Price tool. It should be you giving me the pep talk. Now get out there, hit that high note, and take Mad Harmony all the way to nationals this year! Sorry, it's pitchy.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Welcome to Locked On Eagles, your source for the best Eagles news and analysis. I am your host, Michael Kist. You can follow my work at Inside the Pylon, Breaking Football, and Grandstand Sport Network. You can also follow me on Twitter at Michael J. Kist. That's K-I-S-T. I am here with my co-host, as always, the infamous Benjamin Solak from Bleeding Green Nation and NDT Scouting. You can follow him on Twitter at Benjamin Solak. That's S-O-L-A-K. Ben, how you doing, brother?
Always well, my friend. Always a great blessing to be in the presence of a finalist. That would be Michael Kist, finalist of the Scouting Academy competition. So many congrats to you, Mike.
Thank you. Yeah, I just found out today I advanced to the finals, the top five of the Scouting Academy Prove It competition, and found out that our final subject is Trevor Siemian of the Denver Broncos.
Thrilling.
Yeah, I'm absolutely thrilled. What got me to the dance, and I'm going to probably publish an article on this in the next week or so, is I did a report on Ronald Darby, so I got to know him real well, and apparently they felt strongly enough to push me to the next round. So
excellent.
Pray for me at the next few days as I go through Trevor Siemian tape. It's going to be really exciting. I can't wait to...
You're in our thoughts. Absolutely, yeah.
So as I go through that suffering, Ben, I have some suffering for you to withstand.
Oh, dear.
We're going to have to do a corrections and omissions segment today.
Why is that?
So yesterday you said that Matt Days was on the New York Jets, the running back out of NC State. He is actually on the Cleveland Browns. So
dang,
we
it.
Want to make sure that we're 100%.
So Matt Days is on the Browns. Is Elijah McGuire on the Jets out of Louisiana Lafayette? Because I was thinking, right, Days and Elijah McGuire, one is on the Jets, one is on the Browns, 50% chance here. I'm going to check. I guarantee you Elijah McGuire is on the Jets. Yes, he is.
On I the just
Jets. Unbelievable. All right, fine.
All right, so that's two for Ben as far as the corrections and omissions go. Look, enough about Ben not getting rookies right and their teams and whatnot. What was he, a UDFA anyway?
Yeah, pretty sure both of them. I don't know, Days was drafted late, I think. But then McGuire was a UDFA.
All right, so enough of that. We are going to get into the meat and potatoes of this show, and that is prop bets. Now, if you follow either I or Benjamin on Twitter, you'll see that Benjamin posted a bunch of polls, seven different polls for over-unders on different Eagles players, and we're going to get right into those. You voted on it. We're going to let you know the results of that as well. So first prop bet that we have here, over-under, Carson Wentz passing attempts, 550. I picked the over, and the over is currently in the lead with 41%. What say you, Ben?
Oh, man, I wish it was the under. That'd be great.
So do I.
Yeah, and I honestly, like, I think the goal would be to get him to the under. I think the coaching staff is very aware of how many attempts he had last season. Obviously, they've made it public that you know, Wentz kind of had a soreness at the end of last season, and they want to lower those attempts. But I don't see how you can watch this run game and assume that he's not going to get at least near that number again. And so, I mean, if this was like a 525, you know, 500, I think I'd be very comfortable going with the over. There's a little bit more pause at 550, but I still think you're going to see him go around, yeah, like 560, 570 attempts.
Yeah, 607 attempts last year, really well documented throughout the year, the elbow soreness and whatnot. And
what's really interesting is the fact that, like, if we're assuming Peterson's offense is supposed to be modeled after the offense that they ran in Kansas City, Alex Smith isn't attempting over 500 passes a season. There's
right.
No way, right? And it's very peculiar to think about, because I don't think this is how the system is supposed to be modeled, but it's still what's coming through the ringer, and that's a problem.
Yeah, and that was somewhat of an issue for Andy Reid throughout the year sometimes as well. That would prop up. I remember Deuce Staley famously criticizing him for the 2002 mm-hmm. NFC Championship game not sticking to the run enough against the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. So I don't know, man. Maybe it's in that coaching tree. There's something in the water. So we'll go with the next one. Over under Carson Wentz interceptions 18. Last year he had 14. I'm going to go with the under on this one, and it looks like the base agreed with me They went 79%. Look, if he ends up throwing less than 600 attempts and he's more polished in his second year, I feel pretty confident that he's going to be able to throw up some more balls to Brandon Marshall. He's got more reliable targets that will take care of it for him. He'll be more responsible with the ball and won't be tricking through a fire hose like he was for part of the season last year. What say you, Ben?
See, I'm actually at the over. Ooh, at that point. Maybe I'll push. You know, again, we've talked about it. I don't like to push. You know, there's a lot of Wentz detractors that are out there and everything. And
one choose of the, your next words carefully, Ben.
Right. No, and one of the big arguments that you'll get is that Wentz's interception numbers from last season are heavily deflated because there were a lot of balls that could have been picked off, that should have been picked off, that were not picked off. And
hard disagree. Even before,
well, I mean, like, you know, you can go to the tape and you can find them where defenders are hitting them in the hands and they're dropping it. And I simply think we love touting Wentz's gunslinger mentality. We love talking about how similar he is, you know, at the eye test to Brett Favre. And I'm fine with that. I love quarterbacks who play that way. And I think as you see Carson Wentz grab the reins of this offense more, I think you'll see his touchdown numbers, only 16 last year, go through the roof. I fully expect him to push on those heavily, but I also expect the interception numbers to go up as well. And I'm okay with that as long as the ratio stays pretty reasonable. I'm fine with that. But I expect, even though we're looking at maybe less attempts this year, I still think he's going to take more shots down the field because he has the weapons to do so. I think he's going to put more balls in contested situations than he did. And you know what? I think defenders are going to catch a few more of these interceptions. I mean, he was lucky a little bit his first year. I think so. And again, I'm fine with 18 interceptions, but I think that number is coming down the mountain.
And it also has to do with the running game being able to keep the offense on schedule to keep Wentz out of those long down and distance situations, which lead to those interceptions as well. So that's going to be important.
Right. And you know what does that is the running game.
Right.
And that's non-existent. So there you go.
Is democracy in danger or decline? Condoleezza Rice, William Galston, and Carlos Gutierrez and others take on this question in the fall edition of The Catalyst, a journal of ideas from the Bush Institute. Surveys show Americans place less trust in institutions like the media and business. Others contend America has faced far more challenging periods and emerged strong. Leading policymakers, Bush Institute experts, and respected journalists take on this debate. Read about it at bushcenter.org/catalyst. List.
All right, so next one, over under Brandon Graham sacks 7.5. I went with the over. That won with 58%. 5.5 sacks last year, 6.5 the year before, 5.5 the year before that. He had a ton of pressures last year, and I have a hard time believing that if he has similar pressure on the quarterback this year, when you add somebody like Barnett, who's going to run the loop a little bit more and get the quarterback to step up if Barnett is indeed successful in doing that, I have a hard time believing at least three of those won't get converted into sacks. Now, that's going to be a career high for him, but he's also got that new contract that incentivizes those sacks for him. So that's got to be a motivating factor. Not that Brandon Graham ever needed any kind of motivation. What say you, Ben?
Right. This is, again, I'm a little bit, I think, a little bit more bearish on this than you might be. And I think the biggest thing for me with Brandon Graham coming in and breaking this, because I also have the over, is I think that now, as we so often saw with the Eagles, and it's often the case with sacks, and I think about the CSP, contextualizing sack production, that John Ledyard of NDT Scouting and Locked On NFL Draft, that he likes to do, talking about the, like, you know, there are cleanup sacks, and those are very often the case with a lot of players where somebody else generates the pressure, it forces the quarterback to move, and he ends up moving directly into your arms. Mm-hmm. You know, I think that there are more people on this line now who can generate pressure, which will allow Brandon Graham to not have to produce as many high quality sacks as he did, not have to, you know, beat the OT cleanly and close down and wrap up and get the quarterback down. I think you're going to see guys like Timmy Jernigan and Derek Barnett and Chris Long closing the pocket and helping Brandon Graham in that regard. And that in tandem with the fact that now he needs to sack people to make more money, I think that's where you're going to see the greatest increase of Brandon Graham's sack numbers. I think, you know, he'll still generate a ton of pressures. I don't think that it's that easy to convert pressures into sacks, because if the ball comes out, the ball comes out.
Right.
But I think it's going to be the pressure from the other members of the line that really makes a difference.
And you got to consider, too, the effect that Darby has on that as well. Number one, allows us to blitz, so there may be more of those cleanup sacks.
Right.
Number two, like I mentioned before with Barnett, and I think I spoke about this in the first week of the show before you were on with me, Ben, the angle at which you attack the quarterbacks being different on either side of the ends. And Denver was great at, has been great at this, with DeMarcus Ware coming more straight line towards the quarterback with a bull rush, and then you've got Von Miller looping around the end, and you've got two different landmarks that you're hitting with your defensive ends. And if you can make the quarterback hold on to the ball just a half a second more, I think he gets home more. So that's going to roll right into the next over-under, which is Derek Barnett sacks at 4.5. I think this is more of a usage thing. Earlier in the year, I had put his over-under at 5.5, and I wasn't sure if he was going to be the starter then either, so really nothing has changed. He's had a pretty solid preseason. I'm going to go with the over. I think he can get to 5. Not so confident in that. However, the people that voted were, and they voted 64% for the over. What say you, Ben?
Yeah, the 64% for the over really surprises me, especially when you consider the public outcry when Derek Barnett was drafted. You know, 4.5 sacks, you have to understand, that's not a super, like, that sounds like a lower number, but it's not. I mean, last year, as far as rookies that you had, you know, breaking that number, you had Joey Bosa, who is an incredible talent and an incredibly polished NFL ready sort of rusher at 10.5. You had Yannick Ngoke out of Maryland, who was a speed rusher for Jacksonville, who came in as a blitzer in situations. He was kind of situational. Then you had Leonard Floyd, Emmanuel Ogba, and Noah Spence all also breaking that number. And then that's it for ends. You also had Malik Collins and DeForest Buckner as interior rushers, but you only had 5 edge rushers as rookies break that number. And that might sound like a lot, but if you think about the first round of that draft, 5 defensive ends or outside linebackers went in that first round, right? More than 5, if memory serves. Mm-hmm. And so it isn't, as I think, you know, 4.5 sounds low, but it's really not. And you have to wonder how many snaps does Derek Barnett end up seeing in this situation? Because if you look back at that list again, Bosa saw unlimited snaps. Leonard Floyd saw unlimited snaps. Noah Spence was mostly a starter. You know what I mean? And so you pause to be had there. I think that that's a bigger number than people realize. And so because of that, I'm going to go for the under, if not for the sake of just being contrarian, then simply saying this is going to be a rotational defensive line. And for a rookie, like Brandon Graham only had 5.5 sacks last year. 4 sacks is a tough number to have for a guy who's only going to see limited snaps per game.
It gets back to the secondary, because teams figured out, when you saw it in the Green Bay game, you saw it in the Detroit game, they didn't want to deal with the Eagles rush, so they got the ball out quickly. If we can disrupt them at the line a little bit earlier with some of these new quarterbacks that we have in the building, then maybe that becomes more feasible, that these sack numbers go up, and I hope they do. But like you said, for a guy that's probably playing a rotational role at least very early in the season, to get that number of snaps, to get 4 or 5 sacks is still probably a good thing. So it shouldn't be poo-pooed on as we're trying to, you know, like, crap on Derek Barnett or anything like that. It's based on a lot of different variables. So we'll go right into the next one. This is a big question that we talked about earlier this week. The over-under for Sidney Jones, games played, you put it at 4. I have the under, 68% agreed. What did you say?
Oh, I'm so tempted to go with the over. And I'll tell you why I'm tempted to go with the over. Because he's got 6 weeks on the NFI list, right?
Mm-hmm.
Those could be 6 weeks where Dallas does not have Ezekiel Elliott and suffers a couple of losses. And then you've got Redskins, Chiefs, Giants, Chargers, Cardinals, Panthers for the Eagles. It's very conceivable that you've got the Eagles and the Cowboys neck and neck at like 4-2 records at the time at which Sidney Jones might be eligible to come back. And if you're Philadelphia, and if you find yourself in a place where you might be able to compete for this division title early, I think you're going to be very tempted to bring Sidney Jones back, especially if your corner play has been a weakness of your team. You know, if Mills or Rasul Douglas or Ronald Darby, whatever combination, is working fine, then don't rush him. But I think if they are competitive and there is corner weakness, which I foresee at that CB2 spot, I think they're going to be very tempted to bring him back. I'm going to go with the under because I think that they will rest him. I think that they will recognize that maybe this isn't the year, kind of store it for next year, make sure they don't rush him back. But I think that number, what percentage was it? It was 68% of the under. I think there's a better than, you know, 32% chance that he does come back if they're looking strong after 6 games.
All right, and I'm with you. And I don't think he should be rushed back personally, just because an injury like that, it takes guys a while to fully recover from it, typically about 1.5 to 2 years before they feel right. For him not to feel right and come in as a rookie, which is one of the hardest positions to come in as a rookie and play, I would rather have him be healthy for sure, come back next year and get right. So we'll move right on to the next one. Over under for Alshon Jeffrey, regular season games played. The over-under is set at 13. I picked, against my better judgment, maybe, I picked the over, which won with 45%. I mean, this guy has a history of hamstring issues. What say you, Ben?
I'm going to go with the over as well. And I'm going to go with the over purely as an optimist fan and not as an analyst. I'm going to go with the over because I need him to be present for those games. It has to happen. Yeah, the you know, you've got a suspension looms and puts him at, you know, below 13 immediately. So there's that. The past two seasons have been 8 games and 12 games. And so both of those are below 13, Michael. And you have to imagine like a lingering issue with a hamstring takes him out for one game here, you know, one game there, and then he gets a rest game, you know, later in the season against a lighter opponent, and then you're already at 13. You know, it's so easy to get there. But I'm going to go with the over because I've gone with too many unders and I want to feel better. So over.
He's had 6 years in the NFL. He has gone over 13 games twice in his career. Last year was kind of weird because he had that 4-game suspension, so I don't know. You can't really chalk that up to injuries, which is what we're kind of thinking here.
Right.
Now, tied in with that is our last one. Over-under, Alshon Jeffrey receiving yards, 1,000 yards. I went with the over because I also went with the over of 13 games played. 67% agreed with the over. And what I did was I looked over Alshon Jeffrey's entire career, right? And I extrapolated everything over 16 games. If he plays 16 games, he averages 77 receptions, 1,155 yards, and 6.6 touchdowns. With that being said, if it is in fact the over for the 13 games played, then I would say he's definitely over 1,000 yards. What say you, Ben?
Right. Let's break this down at first. There's 45% of you say that Alshon Jeffrey is going to play over 13 games, but 67% say he has over 1,000 receiving yards, which means 22% of the voters think that he is going to play 12 or less games and still pick up 1,000 yards, which is shocking. That would be awesome. Don't get me wrong, that'd be very impressive. However, that's kind of crazy. That's averaging like 83. Yeah, it's averaging 83 yards a game. That's a little bit aggressive. Yeah. I took the over here as well because I took the over in the first one, similarly to you. And right. I think a lot of that is going to, I don't think it's going to come as much on a consistent basis. I think he's going to have, you know, like 150 yard games, 125 yard games, you know what I mean? And then I think he's going to have some days that are a little bit quieter, but I do expect him to get over 1,000 simply because through these projections, we've, you know, detailed a high volume passing attack. And I think he's going to be the focal point of that, especially, you know, down the field as chunk yardage goes along. So yeah, give me the over there. But for the 22% of you, somebody please explain this to me.
And it's weird because the vote tallies, it's not like there's a big difference. You know, there's only a 3 vote difference on that poll. So a lot of the same right. people were voting on it. So I don't know how that makes any sense. It doesn't line up for me. So maybe we shouldn't be counting too much on these polls, and quite frankly, maybe you shouldn't be counting too much on our opinions. We do not have a crystal ball. We do what we can, and hopefully everything ends up being the over 4s except for that Wentz over 600 passes. So
over on the 18 interceptions, over on the 18 interceptions too. Should I make fun of you now, Mike? You made a mistake.
Good Lord, Ben.
No, see, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to let you be. I'm just going to be nice and peaceful and
is that what that
other
was?
Nice things. Yeah, that's what that was. My lashing out was peaceful, yeah.
All right, so Ben, let everybody know what we have in store for the rest of the week.
Yep, so we've got the Eagles-Redskins preview on Friday. Take a moment and let that sink in. That'll be exciting for everybody. Regular season week one. Beforehand, we'll probably be doing a similar exercise, but a little bit of a wider scope. So we'll be looking at, you know, what we expect from the NFC East as a whole, kind of looking at the NFC and the AFC playoff picture, give our Super Bowl predictions, maybe some MVP, offensive rookie, defensive rookie comeback, all that sort of fun stuff. Maybe be able to bring on a guest or two, talk a few storylines right before we get started for the season. But hey, man, we're looking forward, dude. We got 6 months of football coming up. It's going to be good stuff.
So if you want to hear who we have as the kicker of the year next year, you got to keep it locked on here. On Locked On Eagles, fly Eagles fly.
What you doing?
Ran out of space on my phone, so I'm deleting some stuff. Bye singing dog. Bye goal.
I pronounce you.
Bye wedding ceremony.
Stop. At Metro PCS, you get 2 free phones with twice as much memory.
Really?
Don't say bye to your memories. Switch to Metro PCS and get 2 free LG K20 Plus phones with 32 gigs when you switch 2 lines. Metro PCS. Wireless. Figured out.
Coverage not available in some areas. Sales tax not included in phone price. Excludes numbers on the T-Mobile network. See store for details and terms and conditions.